Proverbs chapter 22, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. The landmarks. Some of you older people can go to a place on your property or someone else's property, and you can see a tree, or you can see a rock, or you can see maybe even a property stake, and that is a landmark, right? It shows you the boundaries. It shows you where you are, and it shows you which side you ought to be on. There are spiritual landmarks that we want to refer to today. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. That was a physical thing, but from that physical thing, the landmark on the property and maybe landmarks of memory, we gain the idea that we need to have landmarks in our memory, things that remind us where we are and where we need to be. Now, I want to look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, and read that text. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should let them slip. Things can slip. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to bless the word and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Removing the landmarks. Slipping away. Now, I am grateful that as a Christian, you're saved by grace. You're saved, and you're in the hand of Jesus. You don't slip out of his hand, but as a Christian, we can slide around in the Christian walk. We can slip from the things that we once held to and know and claim. A crew of researchers were exploring near the South Pole around the 1900s. And they would leave camp. They left camp and they were going to go do experiments. And they were heading back to camp. And they couldn't find camp. Now they were following their compass. But they couldn't find camp. They kept on. And it seemed like the compass was just turning on them. And they kept searching. And finally they found these men. And later it was discovered the reason they were not finding camp, they were on an iceberg. Moving, slipping. You know, as a Christian, we don't run away from God in our walk with the Lord, but we slip away unnoticed. You know, people that were here at one time, not here now, they just kind of slip out of the church. They don't just, most of them don't just run out and make a big deal and say, I'm never coming back. They just kind of slip away from their walk with the Lord. They just slip away from that closeness to Jesus. And then they're just gone. And if we don't take a reckoning, if we don't really look, we never notice that it happens. People just slip away from their walk with God. The danger of drifting, leaving the landmarks. I want to give you three landmarks today that you ought to put down in your Bible and write them down in your heart and make sure that you don't slip away from these three truths that ought to be true in every Christian life. An ancient spiritual landmark that can help us stay on track with God and keep us on the right track with our walk with the Lord. You know, can you recall things that have that has happened in your life? I recall things that has happened in my life, and I use those for landmarks to remind me of God's goodness and how decisions were made and how my life turned from that point. You need to mark these things in your life and keep them in remembrance. I'll give you three of them. Three of them. Number one, your love for Jesus. Your love for Jesus. Friend, when we lose our love for the Savior, we have slipped away from God in the sense that we're sliding on ice in the spiritual walk, and it will happen. You can lose your love. You can lose your joy. You can lose the appreciation of the things of God. You can lose your love for the church. You can lose your love for the Word of God. You can lose your love for the things that make a difference in your life. You can get focused on the wrong things. But when you lose your love for Jesus, you're on slippery ground in your walk with God, and it can cost you. It starts off by taking those things for granted, just counting on them being there. You know, just like in marriage, sometimes a marriage can go the wrong way, and usually it's because we let things go, we let things slip, we just kind of let them go and don't appreciate the good things and don't mark the good things, and so it kind of slips away. Most people don't get a divorce because of bad things, because of small things. When's the last time you said, Jesus, I love you, and meant it with your heart? When's the last time you thought about all the goodness of God? You know, the Bible says in John 14, verse 15, if we love Him, we keep His commandments. In other words, we follow Him. We stay in tune with Him. We keep our eyes on Him. We stay in touch with Him in our prayer life. We need that daily time on our knees before God. We need that daily time when we look to the Lord and just focus on Jesus, lest it slip away our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need to remind you that Jesus loved us and He went to the cross and He died for our sins. He gave His life a ransom for us. And on that cross, as they drove those nails into His hands and into His feet, as they put Him on that cross and stood that cross there, He had you and I on His mind. He loved us unto death. Jesus loves me. Hey, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, but I need to cultivate my love for Him. I need to stir my love for Him. I need to motivate my love for Him, because I'm in an old carnal body that wants to think about me, think about myself, and plan my schedule and include Him. But I don't need to include Him. I need to build my life around Him. How you doing on loving Jesus? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ as you once did? Oh, Peter, when Jesus confronted him after the cross, remember Peter denied the Lord three times. He denied even knowing Him. When Jesus went to confront him and to restore their fellowship, their relationship was not broken, but their fellowship was broken. When Jesus went to him, Jesus didn't point His finger at him and said, Peter, you denied me, and you denied me before the crowd. You even got so bad that you denied me before a little girl, and you denied me. How dare... Jesus never said any of that to Peter. What did He say? Peter, do you love me? The most important part of the Christian life, my friend, is that we never lose our childlike love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to love the Savior like a little child loves the Savior. Never lose your love for the Lord Jesus. If we lose that love, we've lost our intimacy for Him. And the Bible tells us the story of a church in Revelation chapter 2. It said that they were doing good things. They were doctrinally sound. They were teaching the right things. They were doing good works. But the Lord said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. We can do all those things. You know, the Pharisees looked good on the outside. And until you got into their path, until you got into their religious path, you would appreciate them. Boy, if you got into their religious, if you would have got into their religious legalistic path, oh, you'd see a different person. You know, it's like the person getting ready to go to church. They're on their way to church, and somebody... gets in front of them, won't go very fast, and they're behind them, and you know, they just kind of run around them and shake their finger and maybe even give the wrong finger to them. Drive up here on the parking lot. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. Isn't it a wonderful day? Folks, we need to maintain our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't lose and don't leave our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ loved us unto the death, and we need to love Jesus to the death. You know, some would might say, we need to be willing to die for Jesus. Boy, that's a great challenge. Are you willing to die for Jesus? But I'm asking you this, are you willing to live for Jesus? And to live for Jesus, you have to die to some of the things you want yourself. Amen? So, landmark number one, I love the Lord Jesus in my heart. I have love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose that. Don't leave that. Stay there. Never overcome that part, that greatest part of the Christian life. But there's a second one I want you to think about. Another landmark. A landmark about sin. You know, you don't hear much about sin anymore. You know, a politician gets up and they make an apology about something they did, and I had a lapse of memory. I forgot my bearings. You know, I'd just love for one to get up and say, you know, I sinned. I sinned. Because that's what it is. Folks, we need to make a marker. When we lose our hatred for sin, we have left our first love and we have left a marker. There needs to be an attitude in our hearts towards sin in our life. I'm not talking about everybody else's sin. I'm not talking about the sin that's popular to hate at the time. I'm talking about sin in our own lives. There needs to be a hatred for that sin. You can tell how close we are to the Lord about our relationship to sin. See, we got to see that sin nailed Jesus to the cross. Sin destroys lives of people all around us. The people that you love and appreciate that have been destroyed in their life, it was sin that destroyed their lives. We need to have a healthy hatred for sin. That needs to be a landmark in our life that we don't forget. We need to watch out when we compromise sin in our lives. There needs to be conviction about sin. There needs some things. Listen, I'm not promoting that you put your convictions on me, and I'm not promoting that I put my conviction on you, but you need to have some things you live by and you stand by and you don't cross. There needs to be some character. There needs to be some standards in our life. Hey, there ought to be something that's wrong. You know, I've discovered that in the world today, the only thing that is wrong today is saying something is wrong. You follow me? But the reality in our own lives, when we start debating about sin in our lives, we're slipping. When we start saying it's okay, when we start changing our mind about it, we've slipped away. We need to have that hatred for sin. The greatest story in the Bible, I think, about an individual believer that lost his hatred for sin would be King David. David loved the Lord. David walked with the Lord. But David got lazy. David got selfish. And he saw Bathsheba out on the porch in the bathhouse. He desired and he crossed those markers. He crossed those landmarks. And he crossed them, and it's like he is blinded by that sin, by those choices, and he goes so far even to have to okay the death of her husband. Oh, listen, folks, sin will take you farther than you ever intend to go, and it will keep you far longer than you ever intend to stay, and it'll cost you far more than you want to pay. And I remind you that a preacher said that before the song was written. Listen, is there an old-fashioned understanding that there's sin, and we need to keep sin out of our lives? We need to say no. And when we do sin, the Bible makes the provision for that. The blood of Jesus washes away our sin. And the provision for sin in our own life is the blood of the Lord Jesus. In 1 John chapter 1, if you'll look at verses 7 through 10 there, you'll see that we need to have a hatred for sin. And then we need to understand that we do sin. And then we need to understand that when we do sin, we need to confess that before the Lord ourselves, privately, ask His forgiveness for that sin, and get up and live again. It's not a question of whether you will sin or not. You will. I guarantee you, some of you will not make it past lunch today without a major sin in your life. Some of you may sin before you get there with your attitude towards the preacher. Huh? The fact is, though, there has to be a landmark. There has to be a line. There has to be a line that we say, here it is. When I cross this line, I recognize, I acknowledge that I have sinned, and then we confess that to God. And you say, well, preacher, I got a problem with alcohol. I have a problem. I have a problem with drinking. Hey, that's no bigger sin than the sin that I got to deal with. Amen? It's sin is the same, and but you need to lay that down, and you need to say, hey, Lord, I don't want to cross that line. When you do cross the line, you need to ask God's forgiveness. You don't have to worry about mine. And I'm just using that as one thing. I don't know what the deal is in your life. I don't know what God is dealing with you in your life. Hey, and I'm not worried about that. I'm just using an example that you need to have principles in your life. You need to have standards in your life. You need to have convictions in your life. And when you cross those yourself, you need to back up a landmark. And folks, the easiest thing to do is to hate sin. Because if you don't hate it, you may end up loving it. And folks, our generation today, we see very little wrong. The only thing we see wrong, the only thing we see as sin, is what other people do. And shame on us for that. And I tell you what, we need some preaching on sin. We need some old-fashioned preaching about sin. I was just looking this morning, and I want to preach on hell. You know, I haven't preached on hell in about 6 years. Shame on me. Hey, it's still there. And they hadn't bought air conditioners. They hadn't cooled it off. It's still there. And if you separate yourself from God and you don't come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to spend eternity separated from God. And that only alternative is a place called hell. That's the only place God's not going to be. Hey, listen, young people, they still need to hear the truth. We need to hear the truth. There is sin. Hey, there is sin. And we need to be sure that the devil is behind you getting involved in it. And he's a thief. He's a liar. He's a robber. And he wants to destroy your life with sin in your life. You need to have a marker, a landmark. I don't cross this. Hey, I don't know where it needs to be for you, but you need to have it there. And I'll tell you how it's worked in my life. When I first got right with God, when I was a senior in high school, I got right with God. Before that, anything goes, man. Anything goes. I just want to love everybody, amen? And let's all get along. As whatever's good for you, good for me. But when I got right with God, I saw things wrong in my life, and I started separating myself from those things which hindered me, which did not help me. And you know what? The whole life from 18 to now has been a continual separation from things that I need to eliminate in my life. Now, I'll not be so bold as to tell you that's been a straight line. Sometimes there's been one step forward and two steps back. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. But that's the way it should go. That's called sanctification. That's just a rude, crude way of saying being sanctified. It's a changing life. You know, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You ought to mark it. 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, means you're saved. He's a new creature. He's a new creature. Now, that doesn't mean that you're a perfect creature. He is a new creature. And notice what the next part of that verse, old things pass away. Old things pass away. All things become new. Let me tell you something. You're here today, and man, you say, preacher, you're just nailing me, and you're just totally discouraging me. You're just putting me down because I am there, man. I am there. Listen, don't forget, they pass away. And God gives us a new beginning every day. A new beginning every day. What you did last night is no reflection on what you should do now or tonight. You need to go forward. Old things pass away. Listen, if you are a Christian, you're not going to eliminate sin out of your life completely ever. But you can pass those things. And all things become new. You know, God gives us a brand new day. He gives us a brand new week. He gives us a brand new month. He gives us a brand new year. Hey, that's the way God works. He gives us a new one. And you know, some people got this idea. I don't know where this comes from. I've heard this before, that God will forgive you three times for something. You know, he's like an umpire. One strike, two strikes, three strikes, you're out. Well, I tell you what, I'm in trouble because I swing at bad pitches. Choop, 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 I'm done. Hey, that's not true. God is not the God of three strikes. He is the God of a second chance, a third, fourth, a fifth, a sixth, another chance. God is always open. It's only the devil that lies to you and tells you that God is not for you. Look at Romans 8 when you get home today and read what Romans, if God be for you, who can be against you? He's for you. I'm just saying, we've got to have this landmark so that we can move forward instead of being destroyed. But there's a third one, a landmark. We need to love people. We need to love unsaved people. We need to love souls. The third landmark, we're drifting when we lose our burden for people. You know, the reason I want you to come tonight for the basketball game? Not because you like basketball. You can hate basketball and you can come and you can be a blessing. Now, I'm not saying you got to come. Hey, you already know that, don't you? Matter of fact, some of you got an attitude about it. Now, you guys got the problem. That's the one with the problem. The one that's got the attitude saying, "Who ain't telling me what to do?" That's not about basketball. It's not about tonight. It's about you and God. If I provoked you so with what I've said, thank God for the provocation. But folks, we need to love people. Oh, I'd love to see our church run 200 in Sunday school, 500. How many would love that? Raise your hand. It ain't going to happen till you change your attitude towards people. See, the Christian life is not to be lived in a little closet. It's not to be lived in a closet. You know, you hear it all the time. Oh, the world's getting bad. The world's getting bad. You know what? Hey, don't blame anybody. Blame us. We got the sanctity of our church service today, and then we our home. And you know, no wonder why the world's coming in on us, because we haven't went out to it. You look at everything that's coming in on Christianity today, and I'll show you it's because we haven't gone to it. Now, listen to this. Some people really get on board about, now them people coming here from down south of the border. You understand where I'm at? God is bringing the world to America. Amen? But you know, America used to take the gospel to the world. Now he's bringing the world to us. Man, the gospel can be shared next door. But we want to hate and things like that. Folks, we can't lose our love for lost people. Do you know why God left you here, saved person? He left you here to reflect the love of Jesus Christ to unsaved people and to save people that need a word of encouragement. You need to take every opportunity that can be fitting for you to love people to the Lord Jesus. Well, when we lose our burden for people, we've left a landmark and we've left our first love. Don't wait until you stop going to church to realize you slipped. Mark it down at these high priority things in the Christian life. Loving people to Jesus, that's it. Loving little children, loving lost people, that's the landmark you need to mark. My pastor used to say, and he still does, you're either a backslider or a soul winner. He never did get good rates on that, you know. You know, that never did rate very good. You're either a backslider or a soul winner. That just don't feel good, does it? Because I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. How many's witnessed to someone in the last week? If we haven't witnessed to someone, talked to someone about the Lord, tried to encourage someone in the Lord for a week, shame on us. Lord, help us to get that straight. Our love. Our love. You know, in John's Gospel 13, Jesus gave us the identity that he wants his church to have. That he wants his people to have. The identity. Now, the Pharisees had an identity. They didn't do this, they didn't do that, they didn't do this, they didn't do that, they did this, they did that. They did it so much that if someone was broke down on the side of the road and it was Sunday morning about time for church to start, they would not stop and help that person on the road. They went to church and reported to service. They don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do this, they don't, and they do this rigidly. Do it, do it, do it, do it. That was the marks of a Pharisee. And the marks of a liberal, anything goes. We won't even go into that. But you know what Jesus said he wanted the birthmark of the Christian to be? That they have love one for another. Now that doesn't mean I'm just to love you. Some of you are easy to love. A few of you out there not so easy, but I can accomplish that. But I'm to love my neighbor. I'm even to love that sorry neighbor. Amen? I'm to love people of different ethnic backgrounds. I'm to love people where they are and love them to where they need to be. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples in that you have love one for another. Landmark. Three of them. Number one, my love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, my hatred of sin in my life. Number three, my love for people around me. Have you violated one of those landmarks today? The devil says life is about you and what you want to do and it's not about anything else. No, 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 no. You need to come back to these landmarks. Or you need to come to these landmarks. If you've been saved and you don't love the Lord like you should, you need to come to the landmark. And you don't have a hatred for sin in your own life, particularly in our own life, not everybody else, in our own life, and you don't love people. You need to come to the landmark. You need to come today and dine. Dine with the Lord. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Revelation chapter 2, I remind you again. The church in Revelation 2, they were doing this, they were doing that, they were standing for this, they were standing for that. They were teaching all those things, but they had left their first love. the high priority things of the Christian life? Have you left the high priority things of the Christian life? Loving Jesus, hating sin in your own life, loving other people? Then return today. Return. I want us to stand to our feet and give an invitation. And I want to invite you to come and earnestly take heed to the things which we've been taught, lest any time we would let them slip. You know, we could talk about church attendance. We could talk about all those things that need to be a part of our lives. But I want to keep it real simple. If you've left something important in your life, return. Your love for Jesus, your hatred for sin in your life, and your love for other people, would you return?